Hello, everyone, and welcome to this free talk on Ayurveda. I'm really happy for everyone that can be here today and for everyone that listens in on recording later. I'm super excited. I love doing these calls. I think it's a really nice way just to kind of share in the knowledge and the wisdom of things that I like to learn and for me to like learn the concepts deeper and share with everyone and for free. Very affordable price. I think it's super fun. So thank you for being here and also providing the place for me to exchange this information with receiving it, which is a really important part of the process. So I'm grateful for you all to be here. My name is Anna Welly, and I am an Ayurveda practitioner and also a yoga health coach. I studied through Kerala Ayurveda Academy, which is based out of, there's a couple of schools on the West Coast, one in Boston, and it's based out of the university in India, in Kerala. It's part of a hospital system, clinic system. They have a pharmaceutical company, and so it has some really deep roots in India, and I studied it from a clinical perspective, working more with like disease tendencies in the body. And interned at some Ayurvedic clinics in India. And currently now I'm working more with a woman named Kate Stillman, and I'm mentoring in her Ayurveda course called Living Ayurveda. And so, which is really fun because it's a more evolutionary, kind of revolutionary approach to Ayurveda and how we can experience it in our everyday life from a more of a Western perspective. So I'm bringing more of that into also what I've been sharing with my clients and within my own personal programs, which is super fun, just using more of our living foods and more of working more from like our day-to-day, everyday lifestyle practices and lifestyle choices and living in the modern world and what we can use to heal ourselves in our kitchens and in our bathrooms and in our little daily practices and our own self-care rituals. And so that's kind of what I like to share with you guys as well through these talks and then my own programs. So let's get into it. I essentially just want to talk a little bit about Ayurveda and just kind of do as much of a comprehensive but basic kind of put the theories in a basic nutshell in kind of like a simplistic way, and then from there take it and how we can use that in a very simple way in working with our own healing path. And Ayurveda, for those that are kind of new to the ideas, is basically known as the wisdom or the science of life. Ayu translates as life, and Veda means wisdom or knowledge. And Ayurveda is from the Vedic texts, which arise essentially where present-day India is around 5,000 or 6,000 years ago through the rishis, these kind of seers. And the information was basically kind of downloaded through them and then scripted out into these manuscripts. And there's a few different Vedic texts that have been used for centuries through basically Ayurvedic physicians, but also just the people from India and yogis and everything. So that's also how yoga is related in the same through the Vedic texts, the Vedic sciences. So Ayurveda and yoga are kind of like of the sisters of the same science and very much intertwined with each other as well. But essentially Ayurveda is a way that we come to understand ourselves better and can make choices and live from a place of higher awareness to feel better in ourselves and working with all different aspects of ourselves. We also approach our health and our well-being and our illnesses from the place of our physical body, from our energetic body, with we work with like our chakras and our nadi channels and all of that, our emotional body, our intellectual body, which includes our beliefs and our thought patterns, and then all the way to the core of who we are, of our consciousness, which in Ayurveda we call Ananda, or like sheath of bliss. And so what I want to do is over the next hour is just kind of explain a little bit of this like nutshell of Ayurveda and the basic kind of concepts, and then drop into some like useful tips and kind of ways you can explore the power of your own awareness and our powers to heal. So Ayurveda starts a very simple foundation, and that holds kind of the base for an expanding complexity into creating this better health. And so we start with the five basic elements of space, air, fire, water, and earth. And everything in creation basically arose from the nothingness into space. And I'm going to skip like the whole theory of creation just for time's sake. But from space, this kind of emptiness, arises air. And then from air arises fire. And then we have water, and then lastly we have earth as what's manifest as the most kind of the densest physical substance. And so these are the basic five elements that we work with, and they're essentially non-changing in the theoretic sense. And then from these five elements arise the three doshic energies. And these three doshas are known as vata, pitta, and kapha. And the doshas are present everywhere in nature, within us, inside us, and then all around us and all things that come, you know, as part of nature. So they're there in the food we eat, in the climate and the weather of where you live, in the season of what's currently happening, like the seasonal cycles that come around, the cycle of the day, and how the nature of the day changes through these cycles every day and into the night. In our own life cycle, you know, what happens as we cycle from being an infant, a toddler, all the way up through until death. And then within our own personal nature, within our body parts, just everywhere we can look at through this lens of these doshic energies. And then from the doshic energies, we use this concept of the 20 gunas or 20 qualities to help describe what's happening in nature, within ourselves, with nature of the food that we eat, you know, our tea, anything. And so the gunas, it's like the elements are the noun, the dosha energies are the verb, and the gunas are adjectives. And the gunas kind of help us describe these with like a more specific sense. Because essentially in Ayurveda, we use the same 20 gunas or qualities to describe the change, everything that's changing. So we'll start with vata as our first dosha. And we actually, it typically always goes that way. We start with vata, then pitta, then kapha. Vata is the lightest of the elements. It starts with the first two elements that arise of space and air. So vata is comprised of the elements space and air. And its qualities or gunas are dry, cold, light, rough, mobile, clear, and subtle. And so you can kind of get a sense of that vata has these qualities of what the qualities of space and air are. So it's like the wind. Space and air, the wind, it's very moving, it's constantly changing and on the go. It can be really forceful and strong and come in like a hurricane, or it can be something kind of light and soft and subtle. But either way, it's known to have a lot of mobility to it, being clear, and it can be cold, and essentially it's dry. So vata directs our movement within us. And people who have a lot of vata in their constitution are kind of like hummingbirds. Like they're really light and quick, and they're constantly kind of changing. They're very delicate. They can move around on a dime. And so it's kind of like a little a comparison of vata. Vata, when it's in the body, it has a tendency to make things very dry and rough as part of its qualities. So people who have a lot of vata might have a tendency to have drier skin, drier hair, and maybe rough hair and rough nails and a little bit more brittleness to them. And it can also create more dryness in the body anywhere, including making the hair more frizzy or making the bones more dry, making the bones more brittle. Vata people tend to have very sensitive digestive systems and can also have more dryness in the colon or digestive system. And Vata people have a really variable kind of changing appetite, just as they're very mobile and changing. And they like to kind of snack often and eat little snacks on the run or on the go. They kind of skip meals, they'll forget to eat, or they'll get really excited about something and push off the idea of having a meal, just as their own like kind of nature tendency. Or they'll eat at very random times. And when it comes to menstruation, Vata people typically have a really more scanty or light menstrual flow, and they can have a lot of cramping, a lot of pain. Pain is associated with Vata. There's a lot more details we could get dive into, but I'm going to try to keep it as more superficial or simple for the length of time we have here. But essentially, too, Vatas have their menstrual cycles are also more irregular, more changing, kind of like that wind is just very, it can be more erratic. People with a lot of Vata energy and their personalities have very quick or sporadic energy, and they can also get tired more easily. They can become extremely excited and enthusiastic, and then they can change their attention to something else just as quickly and get just very excited about something else. Vata types are more prone to insomnia or very light, restless sleep. Vata dreams are usually about running, flying, just a lot of movement, or about a lot of things about the air qualities. And also, if Vata is unbalanced, their dreams might be more about like escaping or like running away or being on the go. In the personality sense, Vata shows up as a lot of creativity and imagination. So Vata people tend to be, or people who have a lot of Vata in their system, they tend to be like poets or artists, dancers, writers, and kind of like dreamers. They're really emotionally sensitive. They're very perceptive. They can be spontaneous, intuitive. And they're much more aware of these more subtle energies and subtle realms. Just as like a hummingbird is like has this kind of this like more etheric, ethereal sense to it. These Vata people can really pick up on like a higher plane of energy and be more attuned to that. They're also great communicators and they love to talk, but they can also, there's the people that tend to get really overly excited about something and talk too quickly and kind of skip over words or jump from one thing to the other, and people can't really keep up with them. And you can think of that wind again. It's like the wind is just like, whew, it's like suddenly blasting off, and it's like, what? Like, what? Where are you going with that idea? I, like, can't follow you. And that can be Vata. Lots of people are super inspiring, and their enthusiasm and kind of emotional connectivity is really influential. They're kind of like the social butterflies at the party. They're like really fun to talk to, and they're really enthusiastic and engaging when they're in balance. And so Vata people are great as creative artists, dancers, musicians. They're good for consultants, good counselors, writers, philosophers, speakers, and good for as being a practitioner in the healing arts. And some famous Vata type people would be like Amy Winehouse, Gandhi, Tony Hawk, the famous pro skateboarder, just like really tall and thin and lanky, Audrey Hepburn, Chris Carr, and Gabrielle Bernstein, if you know any of those people. Vata governs a lot of energy in the mind, and when it gets unbalanced, it can cause a lot of mental distress. So when Vata goes too high or there's an excess of Vata or it's moving in the wrong direction, it typically can affect the mind really easily. So it can cause a lot of fear, worry, anxiety, and more projecting into the future. And Vata people can become easily restless or anxious. and feel ungrounded or act spacey. Excess vata can also cause shyness, introversion, overthinking, procrastination, and impatience. And when it comes to diseases, vata usually causes more mental disorders such as depression, anxiety, insomnia, ADD, OCD, and schizophrenia. And so for vata to become unbalanced, it essentially, we need to return to those concepts in the beginning that vata is comprised of space and air, that too much space and air will create too much vata and throw it off of balance. So space and air and the wind are very variable. They're quick, they're cold, they're subtle, and they're rough. And an excess of these qualities or gunas causes an excess of vata. So like, for instance, a lot of travel, especially if you're traveling on a plane often, would cause an increase in vata because you're on the go, you're moving, you're being more kind of sporadic or random. You're pulling yourself out of your daily regime or cycle and that groundedness. And if you're flying in the plane, you're, like, moving at a really high speed. You're high up off the ground in the air where it's, like, cold and light. And so this brings a lot of vata into your experience and into your nature. And if you already have a lot of high vata, you're going to notice it more and be thrown off a little bit more. And you might notice this by just having, like, drier skin or, like, rough skin. You might have constipation or experience more restlessness or insomnia. And other things like having a very erratic or like random daily schedule increases vata as well. Like staying up late at night and having a lack of regular routine or rituals can increase vata. Eating at random times, not eating when you're hungry, drinking caffeine and black tea and alcohol also increases vata a lot and throws it off balance. So that's kind of the expression of a lot of vata through a person in a nutshell as kind of like an extreme example of what vata can be. And so you might pick up on a few of these things and notice like, yeah, I can see vata in myself, you know, in this way or that way, but maybe not in others. And that's totally normal, natural. You don't have to adhere to everything of what vata is because you're not only just specifically vata. You have all different parts of these doshic energies and qualities and elements within your body. So you kind of just kind of start to notice what parts are present in you and expressed in you. As far as the seasons, vata is present in nature the strongest during late fall and early winter. That's our vata time of year. And so if you notice what happens in the late fall and early winter is the temperatures start to drop. It starts to become more cold. Cold is a quality of vata. The wind picks up and the air starts, you know, with the stronger winds, it's like the air has more mobility and it's drier. And leaves start to kind of dry up and fall to the ground. They get crispy and rough. These are all very vata qualities that become more prevalent during the fall time of year. It's light, cold, dry, rough, mobile, and subtle. And in the daily cycle, vata is the most present from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. and 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. And that just cycles through the day every day. And if we take a look at just the early morning time from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. as being kind of like the coldest, quietest parts of the day. And in Ayurveda, they offer the most, this kind of time of day offers the most accessibility into the subtle realms of ourselves and within existence. And also artists assign this time to be more creative time of day. It's the best time to enhance or support your vata nature and be creative, to like write, draw, kind of drop into your imagination and kind of like ponder into like other realms or to have a spiritual practice, doing meditation, mantras, pranayama, doing energy work or exploration within the subtle realms or quiet contemplation, prayer, reading spiritual works are all super ideal during this vata time from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. to kind of heighten that and really like drop into it. In the life cycle, Vata arrives in the last phase of our life, from basically post-menopause until death. And the qualities of dry, cold, rough, subtle, and mobile are, again, more pronounced. And older people are more sensitive and subtle, especially their nervous systems. We can see also in, like, their skin and their bones, and everything gets a little bit drier, a little bit rougher, weaker, and they have a greater sensitivity to most things, especially to the cold. So that's a very brief glimpse at Vata in a nutshell, just how we see it in the people, the seasons, the daily cycle, and the life cycle. And the next doshic quality we have is Pitta, which is comprised of the elements of fire and water. And the qualities of Pitta, or its gunas, are hot, sharp, oily, light, moving, liquid, and acidic. And so Pitta is like this fire. It's a, like this hot, burning, transformative fire within us. It's a lot like lava. It brings light and vision to life, both in our eyes and as a vision into like the possibilities we have for the future. It is responsible for our digestion and our metabolism in our body, and it's like the fire that burns within us, directly related to our Agni, which is our digestive fire. And so the seat of Pitta is at the base of the stomach and the small intestine, and it's also seen as like the bile or digestive enzymes within our system. And the blood, the liver, our eyes, our spleen, our pancreas, and our sweat are main locations of Pitta in our body. So people who have a lot of Pitta in their Prakriti are like kind of like tigers. If Vata is the hummingbird, Pitta would be a tiger. And it's like they're strong, they're sharp, they're quick, they go for what they want, they're kind of cunning. And they can also be kind of fierce or like lose their temper. And they have like these sharp teeth and claws and a lot of strength. So physically, Pitta is represented in the body or physical build as a kind of a medium frame and medium weight, with like lean or well-developed muscles. So they're not too tall, they're not too short, not too round. They're kind of like that like medium place of like kind of like a strong but like lean frame. And they might have a strong jawline, a more sculpted or sharp nose, sharp, bright, piercing eyes. And they can also tend to be redheads or blondes with hazel green or blue eyes, with fair skin and potentially a lot of freckles. And Pitta people are more likely to go bald or gray without all that heat in their body, especially heat rising up through their head. And so it's like that heat is also expressed as like the red head or like the piercing sharp eyes. Pitta is a fire, and this high Pitta carries more fire and can tend to have a radiant kind of joyful attitude. And also Pitta people being visionaries. It's like Pitta is within the seat of the eyes, and it's like a visionary kind of outlook into the future. And Pitta people love to take action and make things happen and transform things. Pitta people also have a really strong digestion and can have really intense hunger. So that's strong fire within their body. And they're more likely to get hangry, that kind of like, so when you don't eat and you need to eat like real soon and you're about to snap, that's like a very Pitta quality. It's like skipping meals is not good, or sometimes it's not even a possibility for Pitta people. So like their Agni or their digestive fire can be so strong that adding more heat, such as spices, chilies, jalapenos, even tomatoes or onions, can cause more of an upset stomach. And acid reflux, ulcers, and heartburn is more common for this body type. Mentally and emotionally speaking, a Pitta personality, it still has a lot of fire within it. So it's like a Pitta person has a really strong drive and this like deep desire to accomplish things, to achieve a lot and go far in life as just a mindset. Being courageous, bold, determined, confident, super organized, really sharp and quick-witted, are these characteristics of how Pitta is expressed in the person. Being a good leader, a speaker, being able to perform well under pressure are very Pitta. And a strong drive and determination of the fiery Pitta personality it also ends up where it can, in excess, it can lead to burnout and exhaustion. So if a pitta is out of balance and pushed too far, they're going to, like, be overworking, pushing too hard, get upset. They're going to get critical, controlling. They can be super competitive. It's kind of like the downside of a lot of pitta. They might be more judgmental, analytical, arrogant, stubborn, more aggressive, egotistical, or excessively extroverted. It can be really high pitta. And when it gets imbalanced in the body, it can show up as hot flashes, ulcers, inflammation, heartburn, bloodshot eyes, just like so much heat in the body, it comes out of the eyes. It's just like being red and burning. You can get canker sores, infections, or hemorrhages. These are kind of the pitta diseases. And pitta goes unbalanced by increasing too much fire or water elements, or the qualities or the gunas of being hot, sharp, oily, light, moving, liquid, and acidic. So if you already have a lot of fire or water in your system, adding too much more will create that dis-ease. So like hot, spicy foods, oily foods, fast foods, really salty and sour foods, would increase pitta, especially in the digestive system, and then it can be tip to scale. Having excessive time in the sun, especially at the middle of the day, would create too much heat in the body. And so if like a person had a really strong pitta personality already, and they decided to go jogging on a hot summer day in the middle of the afternoon, it could create like a lot of trouble for them, especially in the long run, if they continue to do that on a regular basis. Alternatively, if they have high pitta health problems, going like swimming, especially in like some like natural cool waters in the morning time, would be more balancing to like assist them with that pitta nature. So the same goes with overworking and working late into the night. It's really important for pitta types to take a lot of rest and practice relaxation. So having an afternoon siesta is super beneficial for people that drive themselves to the point of being like burnt out or exhausted, and just like releasing control and practicing surrender is really, really wonderful for pitta people. Famous pitta personalities includes people like Nicole Kidman, Jack Nicholson, JFK, Julianne Moore, Madonna, Bill Clinton, Brad Pitt, Lance Armstrong, and Shaun White. And for me, I think a really like easy tip off too is like with pitta people, they have, if someone has like red hair and fair skin, they probably have a lot of pitta. But even without that, you can still be pitta if you have, you know, it could show up and express itself in a lot of different ways. As far as the seasons, pitta is most alive during the summer and early fall. And the sun is the strongest, the days are the longest and the hottest. So pitta, again, is most likely to be increased during this time of year, especially into autumn after it has accumulated in the body over the course of the summer. So it's like with the pitta season, especially if you live in a pitta environment, such as somewhere really hot and sunny, you're going to have more and more pitta in your outside environment, which will increase pitta in your inner environment in your body. What's really awesome, though, is that nature provides all the perfect foods in season to kind of naturally balance us. So during the summertime, if you eat summer foods, it's naturally going to balance that pitta nature and help keep you more just feeling good. So sweet, bitter, and astringent foods, which are like super clear, cooling and cleansing with a lot of like without creating heat in the body, are really good for pitta. And these are the foods, like the summer foods in the early fall harvest, just like the greens and lettuces, summer squashes, really juicy fruits, and things like that. And they naturally balance pitta, which is so cool. In the regular daily cycle, pitta is the strongest from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. and then 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Every day as it cycles through the day twice each day. So if you wake up in the middle of the night and you get like hot and sweaty, if you're just like, especially if you're the type of person that's like throw off the covers and you're just like sweating so much in the middle of the night, that's pitta being cleansed from your body through your sweat and your heat, just to literally balance you out, because pitta is stronger at that time. There's a lot more I could go into, but we don't really have time to go too much into details. I'm trying to keep it as concise as possible. But that's pretty much like the nutshell of pitta during the day. And then the life cycle, pitta is prominent from our teenage years, like typically around from puberty until menopause. So it's like that bulk time, midlife time, where we're like more ambitious, we're very driven towards our life goals, we dream really big and take action to manifest our visions. We're really like strong, capable, and willing. It's the very pitta quality of we have that sharp, hot, oily, light, moving, liquid, and acidic are more pronounced during the middle life stage. And that can be seen in the people and the seasons during the day and all the different aspects we have of pitta. Finally, then we have the last dosha of kapha, which kapha is comprised of elements of earth and water. And these qualities or gunas of kapha are moist, cold, heavy, dull, soft, sticky, and static. So just kind of these things you can imagine that arise out of these elements of a lot of earth and water. Kapha is just super earthy. It's rich, it's heavy, grounded, stable. This nature of building and lubricating and strengthening and like having the endurance in our body and our emotions and our mind. So if Vata is this hummingbird, this like light little ethereal, changeable, kind of floating around, magical little whimsical being, and Pitta is a tiger, and so it's like strength and cunningness, then Kapha is like an elephant or a whale. It's like this like deep, strong, steady, kind of like melodic, slow moving, kind of like strong creature. And Kapha is what keeps the Vata and the Pitta within us more steady and grounded. It's like the nourishing, comforting, and soothing kind of dosha, which is also responsible for the lubrication within our joints and tissues, especially in the lungs, the mouth, and the stomach. And it's kind of the bulk of our body, our muscles and the liquid within our lymph system, our saliva, like the fatty tissues. Pitta is that earth and that water within us. Kapha people are more content and peaceful, and they're a bit more relaxed and grounded. They kind of like to go with the flow. They're more easily pleased, and they're kind of comforting to be around. And their heavy nature and excess can cause them to feel more lethargic and more easily gain weight or feel attached to something and feel kind of like possessiveness and depression. So it's like if you can imagine a train parked at the train station, it's like Kapha is that train. It's like to get the train going, it takes a lot to like slowly get that train like out of the station, get the movement going. But once the train is going, it's like it's got it. It's going. It's a lot to stop. And that's the Kapha person. It's like they're kind of heavy and dense. But once they get off the couch or like get outside, it's like boom, like they have a force to go with them for a while. So in that sense, like Kapha people, they have this like great strength and endurance. So they make really good physical laborers. They're also good caregivers and nurses, really good gardeners. They make good parents and teachers and good chefs and also good healing arts practitioners. And they're just more naturally like deep listeners, more compassionate, empathetic, and have like these kind of really big hearts. It's like a Kapha person is the type of person that's like, don't worry, just be happy, and just kind of wants to like go with the flow and like not rock the boat. When it comes to the bodies, Kapha have a lot of earth and water in their bodies. They're big bones, big body people. They have a lot of thickness to them. Like they're just thicker, bigger hands, big like deep-seated joints, like big curves, they can appear more like voluptuous or full, and just have like big faces, like big beautiful eyes, like big eyebrows, big eyelashes, big lips, super thick full hair, like big kind of like full cheeks, rounded cheeks, as ways that we can see kapha really easily in someone's face. As far as appetite, it's kind of moderate. It's like they can skip a meal, but if they're also like more likely to want to eat for pleasure, and they have slower metabolism, so they're more prone to gaining weight and have a harder time losing weight if they gain it. And when it comes to exercise, they have pretty much the longest stamina, the ability to go the longest, but they're the most likely to want to remain sedentary and to stay relaxed and comfy inside. And they can stay on the couch for a super long time and be really happy. Whereas like a Vata person might be lose patience. They kind of want to be like up on the go and jump around a lot. Too much of these earth and water elements is what unbalances kapha people. So they can tend to get lazy, heavy, dull, and lethargic, gain extra weight, get depressed. They can have this excess mucus or phlegm, block sinuses, allergies, colds, diabetes, yeast conditions are all kind of kapha-type illnesses. And when it comes to personality, kapha people are super kind, loving, generous, and compassionate. And they're super good, like, deep listeners and nurturers. They're calm and loyal, kind of steadfast. And they're, like, the homebodies that, like, love to, like, cook a meal or, like, bake a pie and have people come over and kind of hang out and feel cozy. Emotionally, when they go out of balance, they tend to feel depressed, attached, or hoard things. They're less likely to express or even feel their emotions. So they can tend to be kind of complacent or passive or have any difficulty in making any changes. Too much kapha would be like sitting on the couch for days with little enthusiasm or spark for life, overindulging in foods and shutting off from the outside world and just kind of holding everything in. Whereas the opposite of like vata is like they're really sensitive to their emotions, and maybe like excessively, it almost becomes too much, like overbearing. Kapha is like the opposite. Examples of kapha people would be like Oprah, Deepak Chopra, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Amma, the Hugging Saint, even like Santa Claus. He's like the big, jolly, like happy, kind of like chubby. That's like a extreme example of what kapha would be like. For the seasons, kapha is most present from late winter into spring when the elements of earth and water are most abundant. So it's kind of like in the winter, like the snow begins to melt or the rain is really heavy. It makes the earth super thick and heavy and wet. The weather is kind of cold and damp. The ground is soft, sticky, and moist. These are the qualities of kapha. In the daily cycle, kapha is from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. and then 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. And so if we're tuning into this, it's like the evening time is the best time to harness this kapha nature and just slow down and connect, like connect with ourselves, connect with our hearts, or connect with people around us, and be in a more of this kind of like heart space. Be more into our relaxed kapha nature, take in more like enjoyment and pleasure and easefulness, and just kind of chill and have some time on the couch, you know, make a good meal and relax, or like go outside and garden, or like have some playful time with your family or your friends. And so when you slow down and ease into like a sweet and lovely, like really nourishing evening, we help balance the other qualities of being like busy and determined and quick, all these other qualities of pitta and vata that are more exemplified during the day and also kind of like in our current times. We live in a very high vata and pitta time. And so it's like we need to kind of let go and like also embody the importance of kapha, especially in the evening, of just like putting away work and putting away to-do, you know, go-getting them type activities, and just, like, relax and have fun. It helps prevent like our burnout and exhaustion, and also helps prevent insomnia. If, you know, any of these like high vata things of like worrying or anxiety or restless sleeping. If we tap more into kapha, we help balance the other ones as well. In the life cycle, kapha holds down from about birth, from little baby until like the teenage years. So little babies are really plump and soft and squishy. They have all this extra earth and water to support their growing bodies. And that's really what they're doing, is they're just like plastering on so much of this like earthy element into them. And a lot of this fat is what's also very nourishing to the nervous system of what's, as they're growing and learning and their intellect is developing so much, especially through their senses during this like growing time. And kids, if you notice, they have a lot of like phlegm or mucus. It's a like heavy like earth and water quality, like mucusy. So that's one way that kapha is expressed too, when it's really high in the body if you're a kapha kid. So these are very basic generalizations of the three doshas of vata, pitta, and kapha, and their relations to our five elements, and then these 20 gunas, these 20 qualities. And so these examples are what's kind of like the cookie cutter extreme and like a general exaggeration of each one. And so I think people get really easily attached onto this idea of like, oh, I'm just vata, or oh, someone told me I'm just pitta. But that's not necessarily true. We have each of these doshas are present within us, and just some are more prevalent than others. So it's not necessarily like a box that you specifically have to fit in, but it's more of like if you look at it as a very dynamic and constantly like flowing or moving type expression of the energies. So it's like you have a certain tendencies for how they might be expressed or experienced by you, but you don't have to adhere to like all examples of one and not another. And so what it is like your dosha makeup of the way that these are combined within you is called your Prakriti. So if you had a chance to take the Prakriti quiz, like one or any of them I sent out the links to, or if you've done them before, it's super, super helpful of kind of taking a deeper look at this and knowing it. It's like your Prakriti is a combination or kind of like set point of the doshas in your mind and body that remains relatively constant through your life. So if you kind of start to notice like, oh, like, these aspects of vata are like super obvious within me. Like I love to be super creative. I'm always thinking outside the box. I love to paint and draw. I'm very sporadic. I don't like sticking to a schedule. I have to stay up late, and I have a really random eating and sleeping pattern. And so that might be like very vata for you. And maybe you're even really tall and thin. But you might still have some other pitta, and you definitely some other pitta and kapha qualities just in your own kind of unique balance. And then each way that vata, pitta, or kapha is expressed through you is like your own unique nature. So you might experience pitta as you have you love to be really organized and you love to plan things out. And then you might also like get really red eyes really easily. And those are pitta type qualities, and that's just your unique way of you experiencing pitta. And so what your Prakriti is, it can be a super complex a way too that that we come into our Prakriti, but it's essentially kind of like the way that you're born and like the first few years of your developing years creates a set point of what is essentially constant through your life. It's just a very basic generalization of what the Prakriti is. So it's your combination of the doshas within you. And it's very unique to you, and the way you experienced the doshas is very special and unique of like how you are. And we can take a look just the way we see autumn. You know, autumn is like these elements of like it's getting cooler and the leaves are changing colors and getting dry and falling to the ground. The wind is picking up. But autumn is still different in San Francisco compared to what autumn in Seattle is like, compared to what it's like in Phoenix, Arizona, and it's different in Vermont. But it's still autumn, and it still has these qualities of autumn, but it's just kind of its own unique expression of autumn as it is in each different place in nature. So like using these doshas is like having more of just like a guidance system or like a detailed map to help navigate through life. And it illustrates these tendencies and patterns that we have. And then it also gives us solutions to improve upon our basic tendencies. So not only can it help us heal, but also influence us in a positive ways as well and help extract the qualities we want to heighten within ourselves. And so knowing your Prakriti or your own combinations of doshas is another way to have more insight just into who you are. And so it, another way to look at it, if we're looking at the different areas of the world, if you look at different places in the country, it's like if you look at Seattle is very damp, it's rainy and cool, it has a lot of these Kapha characteristics. Phoenix, Arizona is hot, it's dry, it's really sunny, it's extreme temperatures, it's a very Pitta type of place. In Jackson, Wyoming, it's this high alpine desert-like area. It's really rocky and rough with extreme mountains, really high, with cold and drier climate. It's very Vata. There's a lot of subtle energy there, a lot of movement. And so when you know more about these places and their nature, you know how you can prepare yourself to visit them. You know how to, like, pack your luggage. You know what to expect. And you know kind of how to, like, heighten your experience of being in that environment. And so when you know more about these places and their nature, you know more about what you can do to enjoy your time there and also be protected from these elements. And it's the same thing about your own inner nature. The more you know about the nature of your climate, of where you live and how it influences you, how it influences your body, your mind, emotions, and energy field, the more intelligence you have to basically like work with the ways it influences you and how it heightens your awareness, and you can make better informed decisions on the nature of the place where you live, and then like the nature of the place, of the nature, your nature within you, your inner nature. So next I'd like to do is a little practice in looking more into these gunas, these qualities or the words that we use to describe the qualities of the doshas, and just kind of like what you're noticing right here, right now, today. And the gunas are these 20 qualities. They're essentially 10 pairs of opposites that help to describe these elements and doshas in our nature. And the 20 gunas that are specifically used in Ayurveda are hot and cold, liquid, dense, static and mobile, dull, sharp, smooth, rough, subtle, gross, light, heavy, soft, hard, sticky, clear, and dry, and oily. And they're paired up like that in opposites. So we use the fundamental basis of like increases like in opposites balance, which is it's one of the ruling theories in Ayurveda. So what I'd like you guys to do is go into this kind of practice of noticing and inquiring and building some awareness of our inner and outer nature. And we can use these 20 qualities, these 20 gunas, and or if you can't remember them or if you don't have, if you have your computer out and you click on the Facebook page invite, I did create a link to a nice little graph or table that you can use if you want to use those 20 gunas. If not, you can just use your own adjectives, whatever words you like to use to describe. But you have a piece of paper and a pen handy. Definitely grab that, and it'll help us go through this exercise. I'll give you guys a second to get that if you have it available. It's a scratch piece of paper and something to write with. Okay, so let's just drop into our own personal space and just look at what's arising in this present moment. And my first question is for you, is of these three doshas, vata, pitta, or kapha, which one do you most currently relate to in this moment? And why? Like, what are you noticing in yourself or around you? So you're choosing of the three doshas, which one you currently relate to the most in the moment, and why? All right, secondly, in the daily cycle, what phase of the day are you in? Vata, pitta, or kapha? So vata is from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. And then again, vata is from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. Kapha is from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. And again, from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. And then pitta is from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. and 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. So whichever in the daily cycle, what's happening for you right now. If you're in California, it's about 3 o'clock, so we're just going into the vata time of day. And what guna or quality are you noticing right now within this energetic cycle of the day? Is it hot? Is it cold? Is it dry? If it's early morning, you might notice a lot of like moisture and dampness or dew on the plants. Is it wet? Is it cloudy? Is it clear? Like what happens in this daily cycle that you're noticing? All right, third question. What dosha of the yearly cycle is it? So what season is happening for you? And what dosha is that? So for most people in the northern hemisphere, it's fall. And for most people in the southern hemisphere, it's spring. And so fall to early winter is vata. Late winter into spring is kapha. And then summertime and the early fall is pitta. And what guna do you notice in this season? Is it dry? Is it rough? Is it static? Stationary? Do you notice a lot of mobility? Does it feel sharp? Does it feel hot or cold? What qualities do you notice in this season of your environment, of this nature? Number four, what doshic life phase are you in? So I remind you, from birth to being a teen is kapha. Being a teen through your midlife up until about menopause is pitta. And then post-menopause into older age is your vata life cycle. And in this life cycle, what guna are you noticing the most? Hot, cold, slow, sharp, soft, hard, clear, sticky, subtle, gross, dense, liquid, slimy, rough. Now, in this moment, what single guna or quality is the most present for you in your physical body, in your energy body, your emotional body, your intellect, what is your mind feeling, anything? But in this moment, what single guna feels the most present for you? There can be a gazillion, but I'm just asking you to pick one. what's showing up for you right now. And then lastly, once you have that written down, I would like you to choose the opposite of that quality of what you're currently experiencing. So right now, if you feel really mobile, maybe your mind feels really jumpy and it's hard for you to focus, it's a lot of mobility. So the opposite of that quality would be static or stable or heavy. So what is the opposite of the quality that you are most currently experiencing? Cool. So thank you for participating in that little exercise. What this idea is kind of, the point of this is kind of get you familiar with these concepts of Ayurveda and how you can work with them right here and right now and start noticing them and then kind of engaging your mind and your senses and your awareness into this language of Ayurveda and this perception of how we perceive the realities through an Ayurvedic lens and also through your own attention. And just like building awareness of our inner and outer nature and also how it's very connected and how it influences both. It's a dynamic process of how we influence the nature around us and it influences us and how we feel in our inner nature influences how we experience what's happening in the outer nature. It's constantly changing and flowing. And when we simply start to drop into this awareness, we start supporting that innate power within us to heal. If we kind of start to examine what healing really is and what enables us to heal, I think it's the most like fundamental basic aspect of it. It's what consciousness is what heals. Consciousness what heals us, and consciousness is what we are and what heals who we are. And simply by placing our intention on what's present, we're healing. Our present awareness is and is from and also influences consciousness. So our deep awareness, our attention, is consciousness and is as consciousness. And with this present awareness, we can add our own breath, and breath is using that as even a vehicle of consciousness. So as we're getting deeper into this present awareness of what's within us and around us, we're already tapping into these like healing capabilities and breathing deeply into our maladies with present awareness. Is one very simple aspect of healing. It's super empowering and really powerful, and it really is a healing practice. And just as like a foundation of what of where we can start and looking at where healing comes from in a really simplistic way. But at the same time, too, it's like oftentimes we need to take it much further than that, beyond just our breath or our attention. And but through this act of our attention and our awareness, we can change our behaviors that bring on pain or illness in the first place, or we can simply just make choices that support consciousness to heal. And so if we take another simple example of, say, having really high pitta, and say one example of having high pitta is just a lot of fire, excess fire in the body, and say you have acid reflux. It's a really high pitta. There's fire, acid. It's like burning pitta coming up and like shooting out of your stomach into your esophagus. And things that can increase that can be things that are hot, spicy, acidic, liquid, oily. And so having a lot of acidic, spicy, hot, oily foods. And so we can take in that awareness and notice and instead use consciousness in the form of plants and the food that we eat to have a cooling and cleansing and drying nature. And so we use these qualities of these gunas to kind of play with that concept of like increases like imbalance and opposites balance. So we find the guna of the opposing quality to bring in the consciousness that we need to heal what's happening within our body or our mind or our emotions. So if you're hot, you seek something that is cool and that helps you find relief. This is just a very simplistic explanation of how it works. When your skin is really rough and dry, you moisturize with oil, which has opposing qualities of smooth and unctuous. You can rub the oil on your skin. You can consume the oil in your foods. When it's rough and dry outside in the Vata time of year in the fall, you want to have more warm, nourishing, oily, sweet, heavy foods. And you want to add those things into your lifestyle. You want to stay more warm and nourished in your body. You want to have warm blankets, warm clothing. You want to wear a hat. You might want to put oil and warmth on your ears where there otherwise could be a lot of cold wind creating pain or instability in your Vata nature of your ears or even your mind. And so we're bringing in the consciousness of our own attention and awareness of what's happening and arising within us or in the elements and the seasons around us and bringing in the opposing qualities and the consciousness of plants, the herbs, our attention to help us heal and create balance. Someone that feels really anxious, which is a common disposition to Vata, it's an excess of lightness and mobility. So to balance that, we use the qualities of heavy and static, which creates more groundedness and helps create relaxation and calm and nourish the nervous system. So these are more really simple kind of blanket examples of how Ayurveda works. And what's extraordinary with using the system and the wisdom of Ayurveda is like when you work with consciousness, both within the graciousness of our own inner nature, like our body, our energy fields, our emotional body, our intellect, our spirit, and then we're also working with a consciousness we're surrounded by, the consciousness within our environment, the consciousness within Mother Nature, that daily or yearly cycle, the seasonal cycle, the moon cycle, the food that we eat, the herbs that we can take in, the consciousness of the plants, minerals, crystals, sounds, colors, essential oils, like everything. And so what I'm basically kind of inviting you to do is explore more with your own awareness and noticing what is arising or present for you and in the moment or in a regular pattern you might have. Maybe you might be prone to getting headaches. Start exploring what the qualities of your headache is like. Is it really dull and heavy? Does it make you feel slow and lethargic? Is it a very kapha headache? Is it heavy? Is it feel slow? Or does it feel sharp and throbbing? Is it pushing out of your skull? Is it piercing? Is it a very pitta headache? Do you feel it in your eyes? Or maybe it's a lot of pain and it's spreading and it's sporadic and it moves around. Maybe it's a very Vata headache. Start examining what happens before the headache comes up. And you probably already know a lot of this. It's like, oh, if I drink too much coffee and don't get enough sleep, I'm probably going to get a headache. So start examining the natures of the practices of what brings on your illness or your feelings of discomfort. And then start to notice what you can bring in to balance and explore how you can change the natures and behaviors and habits and foods that you eat or what you're experiencing from your outer nature. You know, if you're in a busy, noisy, really high Vata environment in a city, and there's a lot of excess stimuli, and you start to get a headache. Notice that, and notice the way that you can kind of buffer and protect and nourish yourself from all of that noise and incoming stimulus to kind of help bring in that healing through that consciousness of yourself. So it's just taking this opportunity to kind of open up more and even fine-tune your capabilities of listening to your body and all aspects of yourself to really hear and understand what's going on, and just listening to what is being shared with you through your symptoms, your experience, both good and bad. And so what do you need to hear and pay attention to? And then from there, take action with an informed decision to create more healing or balance. And so small symptoms are often precursors to more serious illnesses that can arise. And when we start to hear or notice these smaller little cries for help, these smaller little symptoms, we can take really phenomenal steps in creating balance sooner, which is essentially just like living with prevention. And it's important to be done on a really daily basis. And when we do this with our everyday choices and habits, so it's like the regular foods we eat on a regular basis, our regular routines, our consistent thoughts and emotions, they're all something that we can bring greater awareness to and also use to create positive change, like use it to our advantage. So it's like even if we don't have an imbalance, we can start noticing our own unique nature, our own tendencies and gifts, and help support and heighten them through these daily practices, the way we start our day, the things that come up every day, our regular routines, our foods, our meals, the times we eat, and we can start supporting ourselves in a positive way. And that's another part of Ayurveda, is like health goes far beyond the absence of disease. So health doesn't just mean you're not having a negative symptom. Instead, it's like the optimal functioning of the body, of our sense organs, of our digestive system, having clear and sharp intellect, a clear, sharp mind, having balance and stability within the emotional body with free expression of emotion and a free expression of our soul and spirit. And that essentially is what leads us into supreme health and into our ultimate awakening and our own self-realization. So that's essentially my little diddly on Ayurveda and healing, as much as I could squeeze in. I think I went over my 1 hour mark, but that's what I wanted to share with you guys today. And so if you like this idea and this discussion and want to play more in this realm and explore more of these ideas, I would be absolutely delighted to go there with you. It's my passion, and I have a lot of fun in it. So if you want to have a 30-minute strategy session, that's what I call them, where we just kind of talk about what's coming up for you, what you're looking at, where you're wanting to go, what you're experiencing and the health of your body, mind, emotions, spirit, whatever, and what you're either looking to step away from or desiring to step into, we can talk about it and explore the possibilities of what I can offer you through either an Ayurveda consultation or my 10-week program, which is called Soul Body Bliss, where we go much deeper into this concept and the ways that we create balance on our everyday life. And my next course starts on January 14th. It's a 10-week course in the daily lifestyle practices of Ayurveda. And I also do those in private sessions as well if you're interested to start sooner. So I will leave you with that, just to respect your time, and I'm so thankful for everyone for being here today. I'm going to skip a Q&A session just because I did go over, but if you guys have any questions or any comments, if there's anything that you appreciated, any feedback, please send me an email, or you can send me a text message or send a message on Facebook. And I thank you again so much for being here. I really enjoy sharing this with you, and I would love to hear and create a deeper conversation with you. So please feel free to reach out. And I hope you have a very beautiful, blessed day. Cheers. Thanks for coming.